Okay, let's ask Lee. Lee.
This is The Weekend with Lee Foster on News Talk 790 WNIS.
Thank you for checking me out. I'm with you every Saturday from noon until 1. We have a very special Lee Foster radio experience for you today. You see, in the infinite wisdom of the staff here, the sales team at News Talk 790 WNIS, Dr. Denise Foster from Hemphaven, her 9 o'clock hour, was double booked. And so I thought, you know what? Dr. D is one of my favorite guests I've ever had here on the radio show, whether it's my show or filling in for Tony or whatever. So why don't we just team up and do a show at noon today? And it's a good thing, too, because Dr. Denise Foster has a big announcement to make for us, which we'll get to coming up here in a second. From Hemphaven Wellness is Dr. Denise Foster. So, of course, we got to hear her theme song. Why do we use this as our theme song? Well, you cannot stop the can of train. That's why. It just keeps on chugging on down the tracks. Once again, Lee Foster with you and Dr. Denise Foster from Hemphaven. Hemphavenwellness.com is her website. Two locations. More on that coming up in a moment here. Hello, Dr. D. Welcome back to WNIS.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here today.
Today is a great day. As long as I have a show, my friend, you have a show.
Well, thank you so much.
It's great to have you.
This is where the universe has blessed cannabis, and this is why I left 40 years of nursing practice in the community, 20 of that as an educator. I'm still an educator, but I learned that the government owns the patent on cannabis as medicine. What?
What? Mm-hmm.
So I, this is what allows me to give you, the community, the real deal on what cannabis can do. And of course, we've spent 80 years in understanding the harms, but now the research has flipped. And the amount of research coming out of the cannabis world right now is, it's hard to keep up.
Very true.
We are having so many revelations about what this plant does. It's almost, as I was coming in here today, I noticing that the Bradford pears and the jonquils and all of these renewing trees are starting to bloom. And I feel that way in our dispensary and Hemphaven Wellness Dispensary. I've been practicing as a cannabis nurse now for 10 years, and 5 of those years I've had Hemphaven Wellness open, first as the cannabinoid dispensary, and then we were chased out of Virginia by the governor's new regulations, threatening to throw me in jail, fining me very heftily for selling federally legal products. By the way, the Supreme Court of Virginia just in January said that those rules were appropriate and they were going to remain in place as long as our governor remains in place. So it could be looked at from either perspective. That was bad for us as cannabis nurses, because guess what? You need that THC. You don't need enough to make you stoned.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the effects that we've discovered. Surprise about THC.
That is just one of the effects.
But that's one of the effects.
Yeah.
And the research that we're going to talk about and that we talked about on our podcast, Cannabis Nurse Truths.
That's right.
Is that low-dose THC repairs brain cells and grows new brain cells. But we've been so focused on the THC and high concentrations that we discount the fact that we can play around with these compounds. So these laws made us flee Virginia, because we cannot practice as professional cannabis nurses in these regulations, these inhibitory, the governor is practicing medicine. Those contents, I should say those Virginia legal products that our vendors in Virginia were forced to create a new ratio because of the laws, our clients were coming to us telling us that they were making them sick because of these inappropriate high levels of CBD that we would never recommend to begin with as a cannabis nurse, but are our smoke shops and other dispensaries and other hemp dispensaries talking about that? No. So we were falling victim once again of ignorant and uneducated opinions, and using that model, if we're going to treat it like a medicine, we actually need to go into the research, and that's what cannabis nurses do. I feel very fortunate that I'm able to practice in my community as a cannabis nurse and as a research geek. I love the research that's coming out. So we're doing what we have no greater time and opportunity to do as cannabis nurses, is to use this immense amount of research that's coming out about cannabis from a plant that has been lovingly grown and developed and manufactured and then created into an item that you can now use for your wellness and return to health. It's an immensely, I should say, gratifying time for me after 40 years of nursing, doing it their way, pushing their synthetic pharmaceutical drugs that are made in a chemical corporation known as drugs, the pharmacy industry. So I know that this has been a challenge. Should I tease or should I just go ahead and say that right out loud? When we moved, today is going to be, of course, our last day as Hemp Haven Wellness Dispensary in Virginia.
This is the big announcement. Once again, it's Dr. Denise Foster with us from Hemp Haven Wellness. She has been in Chesapeake for a few years now at 480 Kempsville Road in Chesapeake. And she does have a new location opening up in Moyock at 726 Caratoke Highway.
Yep.
And we'll get into that coming up here in a second. But just for anybody who is hearing Dr. D for the first time, because just trying to be mindful of the fact that usually you're in a different time slot, so that we may have some people out there who are not familiar with you. You mentioned that you were a cannabis nurse. She's Dr. Denise Foster, before she ever really got into the cannabis world, you had, what, 35-plus years of medical experience, and then you segued that into becoming a cannabis nurse, which is a legitimate, real, government-recognized thing. It's not just some title
the government
you bestowed upon yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't recognize by the government. The American Nursing Association.
Nursing Association, that's it.
Recognized cannabis nurses as the newest subspecialty of nursing in 2023. Yeah. And, of course, this is all based on the patent that the government owns, the Department of Health and Human Services.
Right.
The government was awarded a patent in 2003 for cannabinoids, things like CBD or THC or the other 150 compounds.
Right.
The government was awarded a patent on them as antioxidant and neuroprotectants, meaning that they prevent inflammation, which is the source of all disease processes. So if you can prevent or reverse inflammation, you're healing or preventing a disease.
Yeah.
And then neuroprotection is just that. Our podcast just this week that we recorded was an in-depth one. I love going down the rabbit holes that we're now finding in these research studies. But THC and the other cannabinoids offer neuroprotection, meaning that they will regrow and repair brain cells and nerve cells within the peripheral body. So the shock that came to us as cannabis nurses practicing in Virginia, because we were under the impression that we were under a federal law practicing at our level of legality and regulations that are federally regulated, then you have this now population that has been counting on this. We have a very large client base now, because many people are using these compounds to transition off either their pharmaceuticals or reduce them with their provider's help. They want to know how to begin a program safely that could potentially interact with their drugs. They want to maybe avoid a positive drug test because they have a CDL license, or they're going back to jail if their parole officer finds that they are positive, so they're trying to live their clean life. These were questions, and of course, the number one thing, these were questions about pain. So many times over the past several years, many of our clients have come in and said, my pain management doctor has just kicked me out or has closed. How ethical is that?
Yeah.
And so with these clients coming in after the announcement of these laws and the punishment that Hemp Haven and myself personally underwent, and the threatening of my freedom, we're going to put you in jail if you sell these dangerous drugs that are supported by research and evidence over 20 years, 80 years, really. This was just a time of tragedy for me. It was both the best of times and the worst of times. I know that because I knew we had to continue serving our communities first as educators. That's the first tenet of cannabis nurses, is we educate you, then we advocate for you. We'll speak with your doctor, your care team. We'll speak with I've talked to parole officers and lab people. I've talked to judges and lawyers. And and so all of these people have questions, but it was our client base that came in. We had many tears shed. Let me say that. We had many tears shed when we announced that we were closing Hemp Haven Wellness Dispensary in Virginia because of these laws. And this is what the governor has done, has created a population that is trying to return to wellness and turn them into criminals because they're buying my dangerous drugs at Hemp Haven.
Right. You're in quotations. Dangerous. Which are, once again, completely legal at the federal level.
Legal hemp.
And are not, you know, this
lab tested.
This is not a case of reefer madness where you're selling stuff to people and they're going out and crashing their cars or they're going out and giving it to children. This is a regulated industry.
It is heavily regulated.
Right.
One of our podcasts, we love to call it that.
The podcast.
One of our podcast episodes was the seed to sale insanity. Cannabis
yes.
is tracked from the very time it goes into the ground as a seed to the time it reaches the shelf in the consumer's hand, the user's hand. So this is an industry that has so many regulations, but yet is punished punitively. It's considered still illegal at the federal level when you're talking cannabis.
Demonized.
Hemp was only legalized in 2018, and we're still trying to unravel those regulations because look at me. I'm selling a federally legal product, but I now can't sell it in Virginia. What?
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is the announcement that obviously...
Is it time for the big announcement?
Let's go for the big announcement.
Let's go
ahead and get us out of the way.
We got to get...
Because I got to get to this research. This research coming out is amazing. All right, I could do the research under this too.
Ladies and gentlemen, the major announcement. Okay, out with it, Dr. D.
Well, the real underlying announcement is Virginia has turned Hemp Haven into a smoke shop. But the announcement is that as Hemp Haven Wellness Dispensary, where you can meet with your cannabis nurses and you can find products that are federally legal and then recommended to you safely by our cannabis nursing team, we are now in Moyock. So you're going to have to come down to North Carolina for that. However, we have made the difficult decision to turn into a smoke shop in Virginia because that's what the Virginia regulations have turned us into. A smoke shop selling Virginia legal products, and therefore, like a phoenix, we have now emerged as Hemp Haven Flower Shop.
Yes.
We are now the Hemp Haven Flower Shop in Virginia. So there's going to be two locations. One, where you're only going to get your flowers, your pre-rolls, and your vapes that are all federally legal,
right?
Federally regulated, heavily tested, and of course, I did not put them in the shop. Until I read lab results, I read reviews, I read safety data, I know the vendor, I know the grower, I know that's the number one rule in cannabis, doesn't matter if it is hemp or marijuana, the number one rule is know your grow. And these vendors, these growers, these agricultural commodities surrounding hemp are just part of the reason that it's exploding. And that's why, let's go back to those individuals whose pain management was now at risk because either they couldn't buy or purchase the products that were working for them as they got off opioids or their pain management doctor has kicked them out. Here's a study. So we're going to get now into the studies because the science is just amazing and it's now supporting what we know that cannabis, the cannabinoids, I should say, can do. Here's one study that was published and conducted and published in the journal Pain, but it was conducted by the National Cancer Institute. So think of this. Our federal tax dollars are going to studies like this. And this study wanted to look at how prescription medications for treating chronic pain compared to medical marijuana. So we're talking back to the high levels of THC concentrations. So new research in this study found that using medical marijuana was comparatively more effective than the prescription medications of opioids for treating chronic pain, even after a 3-month period, meaning that we were managing tolerance, because that's what low doses do. Low doses of THC manage tolerance. High doses make you stoned and develop cannabis use disorder. So they found in this study that many patients reduced their use of opioids while in using cannabis. So it was extremely effective in managing chronic pain as opposed to using prescription medicines, even for 3 months. What was interesting, first of all, this effect lasted up to 6 months. This means that this is going to be a 6-month pain relief for people. And we're seeing this in our shop, in our wellness dispensary, now in Moyock. We're having our clients who have followed us to Moyock to follow up with pain management because it's very important for you to follow up with your pain management. And they're reporting these type of symptoms, these types of effects, where their pain, their chronic pain, sometimes over a long period of time, are being managed. Wow. They were able to reduce the uses of even morphine. So this is where we are finding that using cannabis every day helps people quit opioids. So this was a study just published as well in Canada, where marijuana, medical marijuana and recreational marijuana have been legal since 2016. So next year, we're coming up on, 2018. So next year, we're coming up on 8 years of legalization in Canada. And so this study found that using marijuana every day helps people quit opioids. Participants reporting daily cannabis use exhibited higher rates of cessation, meaning they stopped their opioids compared to less frequent users or non-users. So now we're getting into some studies that say, is this medicine? Well, if we need to use it every day to abate, to lessen, to help us manage our pain, then obviously it is medicine. And that's good, because this study was published in the journal Drug and Alcohol Review. Well, we want to compare it to alcohol. So, of course, this study concluded, our findings add to the growing evidence supporting the potential benefits of cannabis use among people with chronic pain. So you're going to get pain relief, but not in Virginia. I hate to keep pounding that drum, but you're seeing why this is why cannabis nurses have taken the lead, and right. why I'm not going to back down. This is something that we're doing for our communities, because when we are now finding out after all of this research supported by our government, here is a study by the National Cancer Institute. That means the government has been monitoring these cannabinoids, these plants, for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually been growing it at the University of Mississippi farm.
That's right.
Since 1964. Yeah. For national research, federal purposes. So we have our tax dollars.
While telling everybody that it's dangerous.
While telling everybody it's dangerous. It's a drug. It's reefer madness.
Exactly.
And our governor, who's claiming every claim that he has is a lie out of his lips. Now, of course, this is my educated professional opinion as a cannabis nurse researcher and educator who studies this intensely, because I have a commitment and an ethical obligation to serve my community as a nurse. Okay, I need to practice evidence-based nursing practice. That's what I teach in schools to my students, is that they need to practice evidence-based medicine. Here's some more studies. So back to the National Cancer Institute. Now we're looking at cancer management of symptoms. We know that one of the most difficult issues with cancer management is that obviously the cancer treatment itself creates its own problems. That's the old adage, sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. And we see that, unfortunately, in oncology practice. So here's a study that looked at the Minnesota Medical Cannabis Program. So this study came from how we're looking at our own dispensaries within the legally regulated states, except for Virginia, throwing that in. So this study, just published in the journal Cannabis in February, looked at 220 responses to a survey. And they found that people with cancer who used cannabis from a medically state-regulated dispensary reported significant improvements. Let me repeat that. Significant improvements in cancer-related symptoms. Recall that the federal government, the FDA, moved Marinol in 1985. The FDA approved a synthetic THC model called Marinol to Schedule 3, and ever since then, cancer patients are more likely, very familiar, or anybody maybe with chronic pain or nausea, there's a synthetic THC drug called Marinol that is being used to manage cancer symptoms. Why don't our cancer patients like to use this drug, Marinol? It makes them stoned.
Right. They want the medical effects of it without having to deal with the high of it.
Correct. And that's what I found when I worked as a medical marijuana nurse. Because, of course, marijuana has the high THC contents. But now on our hemp side, I don't need to give you that much THC. So this is where at least dispensaries are now seeming to adjust. meaning that they're helping to moderate or lessen the THC effects, but still get the symptom relief.
You can have your cake and eat it too. So you get all the treatment, but without having to deal with the being stoned.
Yes. So this is where the overwhelming majority of these patients reported symptom improvement associated with medical marijuana use. What's another factor in this study, however, is, of course, they also found that it was difficult because the cost of marijuana at these dispensaries can be burdensome because insurance isn't paying for this.
Right.
And remember, at the state level, it controls every aspect of the grow and sale. So now there's your federal government, or now in this case, the state government. What did Ronald Reagan give us? You know, how do you mess up a good thing? You say, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
That's right.
That's the same unintended consequences that we've allowed uneducated, ignorant things like politicians and people who don't know this science to begin these regulations. And then, of course, that drives up the cost. The seed to sale, it has to be tracked with a radio frequency tag. So your seed from the cannabis, either hemp or marijuana plant, has to follow that at the cost of the developer, the manufacturer, the grower. And those seeds can be, those RFID chips can cost up to 45 cents a seed. If you're growing cannabis out there, because that is legal in Virginia, think of how many seeds, if you're growing it for seeds, that come off of your one plant. Here's the money quote from this study. Patients with pain, insomnia, and stress, anxiety, and depression had the largest benefit from cannabis use, reporting symptom improvements ranging from 83 to 91%. They also reported anorexia and digestive system symptom improvement. They also reported improvements in fatigue and neuropathy, and none of them reported that any of these symptoms got worse after cannabis use, meaning that they stopped they stopped these symptoms. Symptoms halted and didn't come back. Cannabis is safe and effective for treatment for pain, cancer symptoms, and we're blowing to another study. Here's the headline. Medical marijuana is a safe and effective treatment for pain and sleep issues, but this time we're looking in older people. This is a concern because who is the number one user of medical marijuana in the United States?
Senior citizens.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Those aged 55 and older are the number one population using medical marijuana. So what do we know about these older populations? We know that they are more likely to experience things like chronic pain, anxiety, and sleep issues. And to treat that, what do? We give them pharmaceutical pills. So they are more likely our pharmaceutical population of a larger size. But we also know that their age body changes. So now we have to be very cautious. We don't want them to have safety risks. Right. One of the tenets of cannabis nursing is harm reduction. We don't want to make more harm. We know what harm cannabis can do from the THC molecule, and we want to prevent that. So this is a significant study that was again published in the journal Cannabis, coming from Canada, where they've had 2018 legalization to look at medical and recreational/adult legalization models. And now they're going into their data, and they are finding that the average, they evaluated these participants who were going to the medical marijuana dispensaries in Ontario and British Columbia, Canada. Their average age was 67 years old. So now we're kind of the more older middle, their older side of the older age. What they found, participants, 90% of them used medical marijuana to treat their pain-related conditions, including chronic pain and arthritis. And they consumed it mainly, these older adults. They didn't want to smoke it or vape it. What did they use? Edibles.
Mm-hmm.
That I wasn't allowed to sell in Virginia. And it was the older population that were more than likely going to burst into tears when we told them that we were closing the dispensary in Virginia, because these individuals preferred the high CBD, but they also needed that amount of THC that could potentially help control their pain, but in divided doses. So this is where we could now, I'm not selling these in Virginia, so don't come after me, Mr. Legal or regulatory guy. But this is where, again, we could take a cost-effective, so pair that with cannabis, which is difficult to access in the dispensary because the costs are prohibitive. We have people coming into our shop now in Moyock saying they're paying over $80 for an eighth. Now, if you're not into cannabis lingo, this is a whole new lingo I had to learn as a nurse. I've been through several iterations. I was a nurse, then I was a nursing professor, then I was a cannabis nurse, and now I'm a cannabis dispensary owner. It's been a steep learning curve for me.
Right.
But when you think about how the cost effectiveness is affecting the cannabis dispensaries that are state run, this individual said that they were shocked. So people are doing this. They're getting their medical marijuana cards. For instance, in Virginia, you are protected by the disability laws because in Virginia, we do know that it is seen as a medical aspect. So people are getting their medical cards to protect them under the disability and the medical laws, the health laws of Virginia, while at the same time, they're not visiting the dispensary. No, they're coming to people like me. Or they're going to the smoke shops. Now, not in my Hemp Haven Flower Shop, but they're going into these smoke shops that may be registered as tobacco shops, and they're buying these products that might not even be lab tested. So this is the danger. We're not even talking about the illicit market where you could possibly have it laced with fentanyl. Didn't our attorney general or our FBI director or somebody just said that we have to absolutely begin stopping this flow of fentanyl? And your fentanyl could be laced anywhere, and it's very dangerous, and it could be laced on marijuana. So there you go. You want to make sure that at least it's regulated, but then the high cost. So we could give somebody, say, a 20-milligram gummy, and we could tell them to cut that into quarters or into eighths or into a third. We're dosing them because we now have dosing parameters assigned to THC. 5 milligrams or less is now considered from the pharmacological modality, from those concepts, that's our standard unit dose. That's the dose at which most people begin to feel effects.
Yeah.
And then anything less than 5 milligrams is considered microdosing. And that's where we try to keep our population who want to use this, especially for pain control.
Use as little as you need.
That prevents tolerance while at the same time preventing substance use and schizophrenia and anxiety. So this study, again, with these older adults, noted pain, sleep, quality of life measures all improved. Almost half, 45%, experienced a clinically meaningful improvement in pain interference and sleep quality scores. These are two dynamics that interfere horribly in chronic pain conditions. You can't sleep, and that makes your pain worse. You're in pain, and you can't sleep. Where do you stop this cycle? Well, apparently, you stop it with cannabis. They also found, this is again back to the savings side. So older adults, those age 67, may be living on limited income. They may be on a fixed income. They can't afford to go to the dispensary and buy a lot of weed. They have to ration it out like you would any medicine. If you were given a bottle of opioids from your doctor in the dispensary, the pharmacy.
Right.
So this particular study also looked at the medication costs, meaning that they're looking to see how medical marijuana affected their medication prescription costs. This is extremely interesting because, of course, Canada has a socialized model, a nationalized model, where the Canadian government contributes to wellness, right, your health care. So their findings in this study found that mean monthly medication costs dropped from $74 and change at baseline down to $28, meaning that overall they saved $45.40, a 61% decline in prescription cost medications. This is a federal government savings because the Canadian government is paying for these prescriptions, and this particular population of older adults, who is the number one users of pharmaceuticals, no matter where you look in the world.
Where's Doge on this?
I don't know. I don't know. The whole world is in upheaval, right?
I know.
This is where they have found, this is a very important study because, again, using this from the cannabis nurse evidence to practice model, this indicates that we now can safely and effectively treat our aging population in their pain and sleep measures while at the same time assisting them, working with their providers, their prescription writers, their doctors, their PAs, their NPs, helping them reduce or eliminate their drugs. Their prescription drugs. We're seeing this not only in sleep, anxiety, we're also seeing and pain, we're also seeing this in things like blood pressure medicines and cholesterol medicines and diabetic medications. Here's one I want to show a shout out because I can't believe we're not using this compound. But believe me, the pharmaceutical world is using that patent to develop a compound like this. Listen to this headline. Using the marijuana components of THCV and CBD every day helps people lose weight. We have found the compound in cannabis that is basically anti-weed, and it doesn't give you the munchies. In fact, we know THCV, we talked about this in our podcast.
Yeah.
We sell a lot of this. It doesn't impair you. It is almost a stimulant comparable to, in the research, Adderall, Ritalin, and Vyvanse. It is anti-weed in that it stimulates the brain's receptors and it gives you this immense focus, energizing, motivation. We actually recommend that with the THCV products that we offer, we're sitting there telling you don't take them after 4 p.m. unless you want to stay awake all night.
Yeah.
Because right. you'll be wide awake going, why can't I sleep? So in this study, this was, again, a study just published in the journal Cannabis. We're very serious about our research because we're looking at these 150-plus compounds. THCV stands for tetrahydrocannabivarin. It is the exact opposite of tetrahydrocannabinol, which is THC. This study looked at products containing both THCV and CBD. Not only did they find a statistically significant weight loss, as well as a slimmer waistline for those individuals who use this every day, they also found that it lowered blood pressure and reduced their cholesterol levels. We always encourage our clients who come for our free cannabis consultations. We offer that as part of our educational services in the dispensary, another thing that Virginia has lost because we don't need to offer those in the flower shop, sorry, but we are going to be launching in April a new service. I'll talk about that in a minute. But we found that when we recommend these products like THCV, we get feedback, and this is how we help you adjust your individual dosages. If you don't want to use THC because of the job or you're worried about anxiety. So when we looked at this particular compound combination between THCV, the over a 90-day period, they looked at over 3 months. On average, they lost 5.5, almost 6 pounds over 3 months. That's what we would call a metabolic healthy weight loss approach.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't go on crash diets. They starve your body. That's not healthy.
Very true. Yeah.
Okay. So then you set up a cascade of problems. We would never recommend THCV to someone who had potentially an eating disorder or someone who was undergoing cancer treatment, right? We don't want you to lose your appetite because that's how it works.
Right.
This compound not only motivates you and stimulates those receptors that give you this energizing, stimulating effect, it also reduces your appetite. And that's how you lose weight. But the most fascinating thing about this compound was that it regulates blood glucose. That's why you lose your appetite, because your body's cells are sated. They are full and they say you're not hungry anymore.
Yeah.
And so less sugar in to manage means now our body is now adjusting and balancing our glucose, our blood sugar, our regulation that our cells use as energy. On average, using these THC CBD combinations, 70% on average lost 9 pounds in that 3 month period of time. And they also saw reductions in abdominal girth. They lost systolic, the high number, the one on top, blood pressure numbers, but not significantly. They came down in a stepwise fashion. This means that they're not going to plummet. That's another safe issue. We don't want you standing up and losing your balance. But their total LDL cholesterol also reduced. Remember, it is the LDL cholesterol that we consider the bad guys, which is why we are all on anti-cholesterol right. medicine that we're now finding is very, very bad for you.
Compare all of that with, you know, they prescribe you medications for high blood pressure, for cholesterol, or weight loss, drugs, injections, and things of that nature. All of these have a lot of side effects.
And they're all synthetic. They're all chemicals.
Exactly. Your Everything body, you were talking about, totally natural.
Your body doesn't have a Tylenol receptor. It has an endocannabinoid receptor that interacts with these.
Perfect way to put it.
Here's something that I would love to, again, we're going to dovetail off of the older adult population. What do we also know about most of the older adults? They wear dentures.
Right.
Now we're moving into oral care.
Okay.
Here's something that was published just in February in the journal Molecules. Again, this is a global phenomenon. Coating dentures with CBD can help prevent oral infections. In this study, they impregnated, they bonded CBD to denture material because it is an antibiotic. In fact, CBD is antibiotic, antiviral, it prevents COVID-19 from entering the cell, and antifungal. Wound care companies are looking to add this to their wound care products. So this particular company tested the antimicrobial activity against three types of bacteria that are typically found in the mouth, and the outcome found that it had CBD denture coating had significant bactericidal effects because it disrupted the bacterial cells and they died. The pharmaceutical revolution is underway. Imagine that the denture bonding companies, they're looking at these types of studies going, just throwing CBD in there prevents many of these. The problem with dentures is, of course, ill fit is the most obvious. But all of this hardware, because it's hardware, it's something foreign in the mouth. It now irritates the gums. It irritates the oral homeostasis. And so now your body, your mouth is making more saliva. More acid,
right.
more bacteria as it sits there, unless you clean your dentures every
Which
night.
You do.
That's right. So what they found was, so when they added the CBD to the denture material, they programmed it, or they actually created a delayed release option. It was delayed and released for 12 hours and found that was significant enough to prevent mouth infections from these three very common bacteria that when they overgrow, they infect your gums, your and then your oral health starts to decline. Those are just some of the physiological effects. The physiological effects have to be weighed on one side, of course, their harms versus risks. We spent 80 years studying how it's risky. We know one compound is risky, THC, in high doses. So if we keep it in a microdose, we're doing something completely different.
Right.
And from the social side, a couple studies I'm going to throw here at you, and then I see we have a caller. Carl, if you're hanging in there, please hang on. Look at this. So one of the concerns we have is most of our older adults are using marijuana, our younger population is turning to it. They realize that the government isn't all that it seems to be. So they're checking out of alcohol. They're checking out of tobacco. They don't want to get on the pharmaceutical train. So they're turning to marijuana. So we're especially concerned parenting, pregnancy. We talk about this on our podcast. Here's a study that was published from New England in the journal Drug and Alcohol Review. Back to checking it out as a drug. Medical marijuana helps mothers be more present parents and develop positive relationships with their children. They found that mothers who use this medical marijuana are balancing and improving their quality of parenting by allowing them to manage their own health conditions, maybe anxiety, maybe that they have got their own health conditions, and tolerate the stress of caring for children. My heart goes out to any parent right now trying to raise a child, especially post-COVID.
Yes, absolutely.
Parents and mothers, right? Mothers want to be as present as possible with their children, but we are pulled in so many different ways.
Right.
And the number one priority with our children is safety. And so, of course, we can't be stoned. as mothers.
Right, right.
We need to make sure that the youngins are safe.
Yeah.
But however, this study from New Zealand again, mothers reported medical cannabis as an important facilitator of their ability to positively parent their children and enabling to manage their own health needs, such as anxiety, arthritis, and even endometriosis. So when we have the opportunity to adjust our own dose, we call this is a phenomenon we call manage your party. I stole that from someone, bless your heart. So manage your party is so important in understanding one compound, the THC. And as a parent, now these mothers are having to balance. I need my own health concerns, my own anxiety, my own stress managed, but yet I still need to be present for my children.
Right.
This is called an individual choice. This is where cannabis nurses live and helping you find that individual choice. One of the most important things that we're seeing in our dispensary now in North Carolina is the veteran population being supported with this.
Yes.
Active duty military, you're out on a limb for who knows how long. So I'm never going to recommend a THC product to an active duty military member. Absolutely
right.
not.
Right.
But veterans are, again, after the older adults, veterans are the number one population using marijuana. I'm not going to say medical marijuana because more than likely veterans are growing it themselves, or they're within a veterans group or neighbors or family that are growing it for them.
Sure, which is legal.
Absolutely. And so this is where another study, again, now looking at something social-wise, but then, of course, it leads into a problem when you're a veteran and you've undergone war conditions, traumatic conditions, just being in the military, family itself is stressful. So this was a study published this month in the journal Clinical Drug Investigation, and when they looked at how PTSD veterans were using medical marijuana, so those who had opted to use medical marijuana, they found that it is a cost-effective adjunctive therapy for PTSD. What was interesting is that the non-flower formulations, these veterans didn't want to smoke it or vape it. What did they want to use? Edibles.
Yes.
That are now illegal in Virginia. So the Virginia administration has denied the veterans from using an adjunctive therapy, a supportive therapy that is not only cost effective, but it is extremely effective to treat their PTSD. This is interesting because the efficacy and cost of medical cannabis for PTSD would be worthwhile for healthcare insurance providers like the VA to look at coverage, full coverage for medical marijuana. Because what did we just learn? That it's extremely expensive in the dispensaries that are run by the state.
Right.
But yet the state is still regulating the dispensaries, whereas the veterans can only use their VA health care that will not allow them to buy marijuana.
Right.
So perhaps this is a good maybe this is a DOGE moment here. You want to reduce healthcare costs?
Right.
You want to reduce those $45 a month in prescription drug costs?
Yep.
Then maybe health insurance companies should begin thinking about full coverage. What's interesting is this was a study done by LeafWell. Disclaimer here, full disclosure, I partner with LeafWell as a retail partner. LeafWell is a recommendation platform, meaning that you can get to them, and with their doctors and team of healthcare professionals, they will help you get your medical marijuana card. So, but that means also, again, that they're collecting a lot of data, because as they're collecting information on why you are allowed to use cannabis, because in every state, of course, we have to consider the categories that are allowed to use cannabis.
Yeah.
In Virginia, it is let doctors decide, meaning that's something that we lobbied for and we were successful. So if a doctor in Virginia, a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant in Virginia believe that you are appropriate for medical cannabis use, you are issued a card. So they are getting this from the very beginning of the healthcare trail, where they have reviewed the medical records, discussed the contraindications, the risks versus benefits, and then this particular population, the veterans that have PTSD, that are more than likely on a lot of other medications. they were able to successfully not only treat their anxiety, their PTSD symptoms, they were also able to show that there would be cost effectiveness by getting rid of those pharmaceutical drugs that the VA pays for. So health savings all around in every aspect. The Beautiful. Last one I want to hit, and then we'll get to Carl. So one of the things in both the medical marijuana, legal adult use marijuana world, which I am not a part of, I really don't want to be a part of that world. It's a very, let me just say, it's not a very nice world. Okay, because it remains illegal.
Right.
Look at me. I've been punished ever since I opened 5 years ago, and I had to flee the state of Virginia. But even in the hemp world, on the other side where I live, we have regulations, and those regulations say that you must be 21 and older to purchase these items. So this is the last study I'm going to throw at you, and this was done just recently in New York City. What happened in New York? They legalized adult-use cannabis. And New York City is, so apparently, I haven't been there, but New York City is apparently you can smell it everywhere. So what they did in this study in New York City, and they published this in the journal Pediatrics, because, of course, what is our focus? We want to make sure that young people under 21 are not accessing cannabis dispensaries.
Right.
So here's where they looked at this New York City model, and they know that there were a lot of illegal shops in New York City after legalization, while the legal regulations were instilled. So what they did was they looked at 870 dispensaries across New York City, where at that time the illegal shops outnumbered the licensed stores. 100% of the licensed stores carded. They carded them before they even got in the door. And then they carded them again for their ID upon checkout. Guess who didn't card?
Who?
The illegals.
Oh, yeah, right.
The illegals.
Right.
Okay, licensed retailers also. So if you bought your products from a licensed retailer, they didn't use the cartoons. You weren't buying your Weedos.
Yeah.
However, in the unlicensed stores, that's where you're getting your unsafe, untested products. So again, we're back to these are schizophrenic times in cannabis land. We have the schizophrenic United States of cannabis. And we have so many things to tease out. And we have to come to an agreement that it has to stop somewhere. And we have to stop ignoring the fact that the research is overwhelmingly showing that we can mitigate or lessen the risks, harm reduction, while at the same time helping to serve so many of our society's needs right now, either financially, health-wise, wellness-wise, and mind, body, and spirit. That's why cannabis has been used for over 6,000 years as a medicine,
right,
until the government got involved in 1930s when Prohibition was incepted. You know what was also incepted in the 1930s? Alcohol prohibition.
Yeah.
Right? The 18th and 21st Amendment were back bookends of made alcohol illegal, and then whoops, look what happened, Al Capone.
Do we want to be safe or not?
That's right.
That's the question.
And what's the number one still driver of fatalities, especially in Virginia, where they went up 6% last year?
Alcohol.
That's right. And do we have a to-go cup law now in Virginia? Why,
we certainly do. We certainly do. Let's see what Carl in Gloucester's up to. Hello, Carl. You're on WNIS.
Hey, how are y'all doing? Good show.
Thanks, Thank Carl. You. Thanks Appreciate for listening it. And hanging in there.
What's on your mind?
Listen, real quick, you know, I wish I lived closer to you. I live out in Gloucester, of course. And, man, I'll tell you, the illegal market, you know, you get screwed a lot, excuse me.
And it's safe, and it's unsafe.
Yeah.
Yes. And like me, I mean, the other day I got lucky and got me enough to last where I don't have to look for it for a long time. And it was like come out to about $40 and a quarter, $650 for a quarter pound. But, you know, I don't want to do that. We voted for this stuff to be legal, and it would. We need somebody like you to make sure it's safe and right each time.
Well, isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic, Carl, that they turned me into a smoke shop and they were going to throw me in jail. They want to throw me in jail if I violate their regulations. But yet Who is policing? Who is regulating your what we call right now in today's language, today's slang, your plug? And of course,
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And this is a plant. It's still growing wild in places. And if you know, this is why you have Copperhead Road, right? This is where all of your regulations have been in vain. Because right now, I think the latest statistic is 77% of Americans, 70% of Americans live in a state that has access to legal cannabis. 34 states, a plurality, have medical marijuana. And we're still fighting about this. Good news, Carl, we ship to Gloucester. We don't deliver to Gloucester. So our delivery services, I should mention before we move on, Carl makes some great points. And this is why we will continue to offer Flower Shop in Virginia. And we will also continue to ship and deliver all of our products from North Carolina. Our hours in Virginia starting on April 1st, which is just not too much longer. It's just a few weeks away. We are retooling. So April 1st, our flower shop in Virginia is open 12 to 6, Monday through Saturday. Still closed Sundays. Still closed Sundays. But from our Moyock location, from our Hemp Haven Wellness Dispensary, those hours are going to change too. I'll announce those later at a different show. But for now, our Moyock location is open 11 to 7, Sunday through Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are open 11 to 8. So on your way down to the Outer Banks, or we can ship to you, because we're right on the way down to the Outer Banks now in Moyock, we can ship to you, or if you're local, we're going to do local deliveries still, not to Gloucester, sorry, Carl, but to Chesapeake, Norfolk, and Virginia Beach. So we're still delivering. Isn't that ironic? We can still deliver to you.
Yeah.
But we can't ship it. I mean, we can't have it in the shelves in Virginia.
In the store for some reason.
And then, of course, in April, just as we're going to be announcing. So the first thing is we're going to be announcing our deliveries to Moyock. They'll begin in April. We're going to start delivering to Moyock. But we're also going to be in April offering virtual cannabis nurse consultations under our cannabis nurse wellness model. Our cannabis nurse health model is that you will be able to meet virtually, either on the phone or in, you know, on your computer, and you'll be able to meet with a one-on-one free cannabis consultation. And we're going to be setting up a virtual series where you'll be able to sign up, you know, up to 60 days in advance to meet with a medical, meet with a cannabis nurse, one of my cannabis nurses. I've now hired several cannabis nurses, and I have to say, I love you ladies. We are completely fulfilled as nurses now, aren't we? Because we're healing our populations and we're doing it naturally and knowing that we're not going to overdose anyone or cause harm. We are actually helping people. Looks like Sue has a question. We've got time for Sue.
Well, unfortunately, we are rapidly running out of time. Sue, thank you for your call. We don't have time to get to you. Dr. Denise Foster, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to reach a new audience. So come see us at either the Smoke Shop, and we'll direct you down to Moyock to Hemp Haven Wellness Dispensary.
In Chesapeake, 480 Kemsville Road. In Moyock, 726 Caratoke Highway. On the web, hemphavenwellness.com. On your podcasts. That would be Cannabis Nurse Truths. Dr. Denise Foster from Hemp Haven.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you. News Talk 790 WNIS Norfolk. It is 1 o'clock.